Welcome back to the Know It All podcast. I'm your host, Sam Forrest. Joined alongside me is Phoenix Bowder. We are back this week. Phoenix, how you been?
I've been good. Not much is new, but I've been all right. I hope you're doing well.
Yeah, of course I am. We've got some fun stories this week. We covered the Olympics last week. I did do a little bit of looking into an update about the biathlete who cheated on his girlfriend.
Okay, I'm interested.
It's a little more disappointing than I hoped it would be. I was kind of hoping for some beautiful, you know, movie style. They get back together and they're in love. But it doesn't seem that way. From everything I've seen, she's kind of done with this guy. I think they were only dating for like a few months at that point.
Wow. That's a big thing to announce after a couple months. It just seems like a huge thing to announce on national television or worldwide television.
Yeah, especially like maybe the guilt is just overwhelming you if this is like your wife of a decade. Not to say that makes it any better or worse, but a few months in and you're talking about that on international television?
Yeah, I mean, I don't understand how he thought that was the time and the place to do it. I mean, it's about sports, right? It's not reality TV.
It's not, yeah. Save that for, like, The Bachelor or something, I guess, which I guess he is now. But yeah, nothing really new there, unfortunately. Just seems to be going in that same direction. But one of the most important sports events of this month, of course, is March Madness. I don't know if you've been watching any of that at all, Phoenix.
Don't even know what that is.
Okay, good. That's a good start, genuinely. March Madness is a 64 team college basketball tournament. It happens every year in guess what month?
I guess March.
This guy who says you don't know anything about sports? Nancy Drew over here. Yeah, March Madness. So there is a college basketball regular season. College sports are really weird. They're really, really weird. But March Madness is kind of like, maybe other than the football national championship, like the pinnacle of college sports in the United States. Because the name is not hyperbolic. It usually is quite mad.
And what does the madness, what are people referring to when they talk about the madness?
Well, so the March Madness tournament is bracketed and has four quadrants, and every team is seeded 1 through 16, right? So there are hundreds of college basketball programs throughout the United States. The top 64 make it into the March Madness tournament, and it is a single game knockout bracket. So you go from 64 to 32, 16, 8, 4, and then 2-1.
I see. So if you lose a single game in this whole tournament, you're out.
Yes, exactly. And so we get
the madness, right? The madness is the pressure.
Exactly. The madness is that, especially, maybe less so in recent years and maybe even this year, but sometimes you see Cinderella runs, which are, you know, these like 12 or 13 seeds who no one expected to make it past the first round going into the Sweet 16. Or, oh, I should let you know about that as well. After the round of 32, each round has a cute little alliterative name. It's quite fun. So there's the Sweet 16. We can make a fun little game out of this. What do you think 8 would be?
I would say the Crazy 8.
It's alliterative, so it's an E.
Oh.
But I like the concept of Crazy 8.
I want to say Exciting 8, but that's too lame.
That's not terrible. It's the Elite 8.
Elite 8, okay.
Yeah.
Yes, because the next one is always the better ranking than the last, right?
Yeah, you just go deeper into the tournament. And then 4 is the final 4.
4.
What was that, sorry?
Fantastic Four, right?
It should be. It really should be. They just call it the Final Four.
Oh, I guess that makes sense.
Yeah, Sweet 16. It gets a lot less cute as you go on. There's no name for the round of 34 or the round of 32 or 64, but it goes Sweet 16, Elite 8, Final Four. Then they don't really have one for the finals. They just call it the finals. But yeah, it gets a little bit less cute. But this year, one of the most popular things to do, especially for fans in March Madness, is to create and fill out your own bracket. So essentially, you try and predict what every game will go like, and you pick which teams are going to move on through the bracket.
Okay.
Technically. Now, if this...
Are we talking about, like, sort of a sports betting type of deal? Or is this just fun?
It can be sports betting, but a lot of it's like a work or a league you'll do with your friends. You can fill it out online. You literally just pick each team that will move on the first round, and then you pick each team that will move on the second round. You essentially fill out your whole bracket based on what you think is going to happen in each game. If, technically... each game were a 50-50 toss-up, which we know it's not, but imagine. What do you think the odds are of filling out a perfect bracket?
Oh, my God. I mean, you could probably do the math on some of the odds, but then there's always unexpected wins and losses.
But just simply imagine that each game is a coin flip.
Yeah. Oh, man, I don't even know. Like, one in probably 10,000 or something, or more.
You are not even close.
What is it?
If you flipped a coin for every game, your odds are one in 9.2 quintillion.
Man, that's why I'm not a math major.
It is unlikely. Now... I did a little bit of research as well. If we were to assume that you know basketball, you pick the favorites. This is some NCAA numbers here. If you did your research, you know college ball, the odds improve a little bit, actually, to 1 in 120 billion.
Wow, that's a lot better.
It's a lot better. But it's still not great.
Yeah, I mean that's crazy. So I hope that not too many people are betting money on this.
Well, so the thing is, your goal is not to fill out a perfect bracket, right? Because it's basically impossible. You're essentially just trying to fill out a better bracket than all of your friends, a more accurate bracket.
Okay.
So that is essentially what you do. There has never, ever, as far as valid, legitimate, recorded brackets go, no one's ever filled out anything really even close to a perfect bracket.
I mean, I couldn't imagine with the quintillion odds. Like, I can't imagine anybody ever will.
No. This year, it looks like there were roughly 36 million entries tracked across some of the major platforms that run bracket challenges like this, such as ESPN and CBS. The person who made it the furthest, they're already done. The second round just finished, and the last bracket alive just ended.
Okay.
By Christianter, I guess, made it 43 games in. 43 games this person predicted correctly, and then they lost when number 6 Tennessee beat number 3 Virginia. I also had Virginia, so I'm not happy about this. But
how did you do?
I'll tell you what. I probably had the best first round I've ever had.
Oh, yeah.
The fun thing about a March Madness bracket is that you can pick a team to win the tournament that gets eliminated on the first day. And normally something like that happens to me. This year I had a really good first round. I think I only got like two or three games wrong. And then I think I only got two or three games right in the second round. So I'm officially done. So I'm going back to rooting for Michigan.
Okay, nice. I'm actually wearing a Michigan sweater right now.
I know you're a Michigan boy yourself.
Yeah, I mean, I didn't buy it. I don't know anything about sports. I'm pretty sure it's the yellow M. It's only bought it for me, but I'm pretty sure that's Michigan.
One of the fun things about sports is you will talk to a lot of people, especially in Canada, with reference to the NFL, because we don't have a team here. You will talk to a lot of people who are like, yeah, I cheer for all the Toronto teams. Or like, I'm from Calgary, I root for the Flames, and then the Raptors and Jays. And then you ask them about what NFL or college team they cheer for, and they'll say something like, oh, the Carolina Panthers or the Cincinnati Bengals or the Buffalo Bills. And when you ask them why, they say, I had one thing with a Bills logo on it when I was a kid, so I guess I just decided to become a fan of that team. It is genuinely remarkable. That is how a lot of sports fandoms start when you're a kid, right?
Yeah, I mean, I know it's like most people would probably choose based on geographics and based on where they live or where they're from or where their heritage is from. But, I mean, there must be a lot of people that just randomly decide, especially if you're out of the country, like you said, right?
Mm-hmm. So Michigan, I became a Michigan fan when I went to the Winter Classic hockey game that was hosted outdoors in Michigan's football stadium. So I went there. I was like, wow, this stadium's really cool. I would have been about 10 or 11 at the time. And I was like, wow, this stadium's so big. It's the biggest, I believe it's the biggest stadium, highest capacity in the United States. It's like, you can fit like 110,000 people in there, I think.
God. Wow.
So I went there as a kid and was just so amazed by it that I decided to cheer for Michigan football and then by proxy hockey and basketball. So I'm excited that Michigan is a one seed in this tournament. So they've been playing pretty well. So it'll be very interesting to see how the rest of the tournament unfolds. There haven't been a lot of super low seeds, I should say, going deep. Like the 11 seed Texas has made it into the Sweet 16. Iowa took down the one of the favorites, the Gators, the defending champions from last year. But we'll see how the Sweet 16 works out. But moving on back to football that we touched on a little bit, there is some news from the offseason here in the NFL. One of my favorite stories, interestingly enough. I don't know how well it'll translate to you, but I'll try and explain it as best I can here. So, where do we start here? Max Crosby is a pass rusher from the Las Vegas Raiders. We don't really need to go into what a pass rusher is.
No. I don't think so.
It's not that important to the story. But what is important is that he is one of the best at his position in the game.
Okay.
So, a few weeks ago, he was traded to the Baltimore Ravens for two first-round picks. For reference, two first-round picks is a lot in football. That is a lot to give up.
Yeah.
It was a sort of handshake deal because you technically couldn't make trades until a couple days after the report came out that these two teams had, like, an acknowledged agreement that they were going to trade Max Crosby.
Yeah.
And then Baltimore pulled out at the last second when free agency opened up and signed another pass rusher who is just about as good named Trey Hendrickson from the Cincinnati Bengals.
Oh, no. So now the deal is off.
The one of the important things about a trade is every player has to pass a physical to make sure they're not, you know, hiding a career-ending injury, and the team's just shipping them off to get some free draft picks. It's a pretty well-established thing. Max Crosby failed his physical. Reportedly.
Oh.
Reportedly. That is the reason that the Ravens gave for pulling out of the trade. So you can pull out of a trade if a player fails their physical.
But what does the physical entail? Is that like a health, like a doctor who's evaluating you, or is that like a physical, like physical ability you're doing, like testing?
It's a little bit of both, as far as I'm aware. I'm not entirely sure what exactly the physical entails, but it's essentially, are you in good enough shape to play, realistically?
Right. Okay.
So, he fails his physical, or so the Ravens say, because it was pretty well documented that Max Crosby had suffered a season-ending injury towards the last couple weeks of last year. So everyone was pretty well aware that he wasn't going to be ready to go until the start of this season, which is not until September.
Okay, what was the injury?
The injury, let me double check. I believe it was a leg injury. But it was something that happens pretty much all the time. Like, something that was going to sideline him, again, until the start of the year. But the Ravens realized, essentially, that they could sign a pass rusher for pretty much the same amount of money as Max Crosby, who is just about as good.
Yeah, and then they wouldn't have to give up their first round picks, right?
Exactly. It was a knee injury, by the way.
Oof.
But, yeah, so the league, technically, I will say the Ravens didn't really break any rules. But it's kind of scummy.
You can't say that it was against the rules if it was a verbal agreement, right? Like, it's, you could argue that it's dishonorable, or that it's kind of, you could argue that it's cheating in a kind of below the rules type of way. Yeah. But in the end, I mean, who are the ones that wanted to trade? Who was the other ones? Not the Ravens?
The Raiders.
The Raiders. Well, that's not confusing.
No, not at all.
The Raiders should have put their eggs into a verbal agreement basket, right?
See, that's the thing. They weren't allowed to make a trade until a couple days after. So again, like, technically, they did nothing wrong. No one is breaking any rules with the league. But what it's done is ruined the Ravens' reputation.
Sure. Like, you better believe that nobody's going to make a deal with them in the future, right?
No. No one's going to make a deal with them, and there's some free agents who aren't too keen on signing with them anymore because they know they might get screwed just as well as the Raiders did, right?
Yeah.
So, that one, very interesting. Interesting to me personally as a Buffalo Bills fan who wanted the Buffalo Bills to trade for Max Crosby and who doesn't particularly like the Ravens. So, I wasn't.
What city is the Ravens?
The Ravens are Baltimore.
Baltimore.
All right. We got a couple quick hit ones here as we're running a little bit low on time. If we're going to stick on the injury spot, the Philadelphia Phillies ace Zach Wheeler, who one of the best pitchers in baseball right now, had what I'm reading as being quoted as a clothing-related setback in the spring. Yes.
Well, he must have torn his pants.
Well, close, actually. It was not a major injury. I think it just set back he may have had to sit out one game. But he tweaked something while putting on his uniform.
That happens all the time, though. I mean, it's a little embarrassing when you're a professional athlete, but that happens all the time to old people. And, you know, like, I think it's easy to happen. It's just embarrassing.
I do feel like we should hold our professional star athletes to a slightly higher standard injury-wise than senior citizens,
though. I agree. However, I mean, imagine you're in his position. You're a professional pitcher in front of the whole on a world stage. How your mind isn't focused on the potential risk of putting on your pants?
I mean, who really is thinking about the potential risk of putting on their pants?
Me. Well, I do.
That's, you know what, maybe I should start thinking about it. I mean, I'm certain that I've hurt myself putting on pants.
More people die from shark attacks more people die putting on their pants each year than from shark attacks each year.
There you go.
Yeah, and Google that to make sure it's true, because I don't know.
No, we are not a facts-based show. We are going purely on opinion, and everything we say is, once again, this does not reflect the... These are our personal opinions, not those of Spirit Live or Toronto Metropolitan University. It is our opinion, and not Spirit Live, nor the universities, that...
Well, that fact about sharks is my opinion. So that, take it with a grain of salt.
You can do that these days now. You can just kind of say that, and it works.
Yeah.
It's my opinion, but it's a fact. I did want to just talk a little bit about the other injury that Zach Wheeler had a few years ago. That was really interesting. That this recent injury reminded me of. He, in 2020, missed one start again. Nothing crazy, but just one. I don't know if you know any of the details about how pitchers, I should say, are very sensitive with their fingers. These guys will be out for weeks with blisters on their throwing hands.
Oh, really?
Because it's such a fine-tuned thing that their fingers have to be in like really good shape. And even a minor injury can really throw off their mechanics and stuff.
Well, that makes sense. That really makes sense. It's like it's such a complex movement, right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So a couple of years ago, he again, when he was trying to put on his pants, he caught his middle fingernail on his belt buckle and ripped part of his nail off. So. Go ahead.
That's what happened?
Yeah. This was not the one we just talked about, though. This was one from a few years ago.
These, you know what? These pitchers got to start, they got to stop wearing pants, apparently.
They clearly Zach Wheeler does, because that's insane. And it always amazes me that baseball is the only sport that you can play while wearing a belt. The only sport you have to wear a belt while you play it.
Yeah.
Fascinating. Fascinating stuff. That is just about all the time we have for today.
Okay. Phoenix,
thank you once again for joining me.
Of course, thank you for teaching me new things about sports.
Of course, anytime. And thank you guys for listening. Take care.
Thanks.